takes is knowing the difference between knowing what you have the right to do and what is right to do. Join Rabbi Ari Kiveman for the next hour and join the discussion about ethics, morals, and chutzpah, living an ethical and moral life in the 21st century, only on 101.9 High FM.
Welcome to Soul right here on 101.9 Chai FM. I'm your host, Rabbi Ari Kiveman. It's great to be with you here on this wonderful afternoon as we're getting ready and preparing to celebrate the beautiful special festival, the holiday of Shavuos, when God Almighty gave us the Torah at Mount Sinai over 3,300 years ago. And of course, Shavuos literally means weeks. So for the past 7 weeks, we have been counting each day from our liberation, from our ancestors' emancipation from the slavery in Egypt, Pesach, until this special holiday of Shavuos. And there's many customs that we need to discuss about this holiday, from all-night Torah study to listening to the reading of the Ten Commandments that must be at Shul for, to the reading of the Book of Ruth, to eating dairy foods and ice cream and adorning the shul and our homes with greenery and flowers. There's just so many ways to celebrate. So let's think about this beautiful holiday, this festival, Shavuos. In fact, what do we call it in Hebrew? In the Jewish vernacular, festival is known as a Yom Tov, a good day. A key difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov is that Shabbos is an inherently holy day. Yom Tov can often and does fall on ordinary weekdays, yet the weekday becomes holy because of the festival. So a Yom Tov transforms an ordinary day into an extraordinary holy day. And so as we get ready to celebrate this special festival of Shavuos, we recall how before God gave us the Torah, there was a barrier between heaven and earth. It was impossible to truly be connected to God while living an earthly, materialistic lifestyle. When God descended from the heavens to earth to give us his heavenly gift, the Torah, he lifted that barrier. He made it possible for us humans to have a genuine, real relationship. For us, finite Homo sapiens, to have a real relationship with an infinite Almighty God. We are taught that the Jewish people, the Jewish festivals, they don't just celebrate an ancient event of the past, but they also reenact these events on a spiritual level. And so, accordingly, each year on Shavuos, God issues the Torah to us anew. It's not just that our ancestors received the Torah back then on this day, but rather we have an opportunity now, today, on Shavuos, to receive the Torah anew. And this means that God expands and deepens our ability to grasp and to internalize and to appreciate the Torah. When God gave us the Torah at Sinai, Hashem asked for guarantors. And the Jewish people, of course, offered all their great scholars and teachers and the elders, but God declined all the wonderful proposals that the Jewish people offered. And then when they suggested their children, that's what God accepted. Only our children can assure that we will observe the Torah in future generations. And it's therefore vital that the guarantors be present when the Torah is given. And therefore, we should make sure that every single one of us, young and old, of course, even the elderly, we're all young at heart. We all must be present at shul to listen to the reading of the Ten Commandments on Shavuos. When our ancestors were asked if they would accept the Torah, what did they say? They replied, Na'aseh v'nishma. We will do and we will listen. With this, they pledged to obey the commandments, regardless of, even before they heard or understood the reasons behind it. And this kind of obedience bound them not just to the commandments, but to God, the commander. On this day, we dwell on our ancestors' response and strive to adopt it ourselves. In ancient Israel, all Jews would make a pilgrimage to the Beis HaMikdash, to the temple, on the three pilgrimage festivals, on the Shalosh Regalim, on Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot. So Shavuos is one of the holidays that all Jews celebrate in unison. We bask in the glow of the divine presence. And personally, I've been to Israel at the Kotel on Shavuos a number of times, and it is an incredible and very special experience. And of course, if we can't be there then, at least we should tap into that energy into this special moment now. And think about the name Shavuos. We talked about it means weeks. And the Yom Tov is called weeks because the Torah instructs us to count each day for 7 weeks, beginning from the second night of Pesach. And we celebrate Shavuos, the festival of weeks, at the conclusion of these 7 weeks. So Shavuos is the culmination of the 7 week preparation process to receive the Torah. For 7 weeks, we count each day in anticipation of receiving the Torah. We prepare ourselves emotionally and spiritually for this momentous occasion. And this is the special gift God gave us at the conclusion of those 7 weeks. And so let's talk about ways that we can get ready and be prepared for the special holiday, for this holiday of Shavuos. We'll be right back in a moment and talk about how to be prepared and ready for the holiday of Shavuos.
You're listening to Ethics, Morals, and Chutzpah with Rabbi Ari Kiveman, only on 101.9 Chai FM.
Welcome back to Soul right here on 101.9 Chai FM. I'm your host, Rabbi Ari Kiveman. It's great to be here on this wonderful afternoon as we talk about how to get ready and prepare for the festival of Shavuos. And of course, it's important that we each seek out opportunities to personally prepare for Yom Tov, that we don't just rely on others to get it done, even if we don't ordinarily handle our domestic affairs ourselves. And we have help at home. But when we involve ourselves personally in the preparation, we honor the Yom Tov. And the more we do, the better it is. And so it's so important that we all get involved personally. And preparations usually begin a few days before Yom Tov. Now is the ideal time to really get into it. But the primary day of Yom Tov preparations, of course, is Erev Yom Tov, the day before the Yom Tov. And when we prepare on Erev Yom Tov, that's what makes it apparent that our shopping and cleaning is to honor the Yom Tov rather than just regular, ordinary housework. However, when we start earlier, of course, it's the ideal because obviously there's not enough time to complete all the tasks in one single day. And, you know, if perhaps the stores might carry a better selection a few days earlier, so it's always better to get started a few days earlier. Of course, there's lots of things one does and everybody has their own personal things, which I'd love to hear what you personally do. Feel free to send an SMS, a WhatsApp, a text message, an email. Let us know what we should include. But things that come to my own mind, shopping for the items that you need for you, the basics, right? And I'm sure there's lots of things that everybody could think of. There are basic shopping lists of what you use. You know, your Yom Tov shopping list will probably depend largely on the menu that you create and depending on your particular taste and style. But obviously, the traditional meal includes fish and soup and meat and a chicken course, whatever other favorite dishes that you might have. And so you want to make sure to get whatever your preference might be in order to celebrate the holiday the best way that you like. Now, of course, you know, basic stuff like candles and a Yizkor candle, a 24-hour candle, not only for the Yizkor memorial prayer observance, but also for in order to have a pre-existing candle from which to light from one day to the next. You want to make sure you have grape juice and wine and challah. And some people have actually round challahs in honor of the holiday. It looks somewhat like Mount Sinai. And salt to dip your challah into. And of course, on this holiday, we're going to talk more about that just now. The cheese and dairy products and ice cream. So make sure you have the right ingredients for your dairy dishes and whatever spices and preferences that your family might like. Make sure to have all that. And of course, there are extra stuff that come to mind, such as fresh flowers. We want to decorate our shul and home and greenery, which we'll talk in a moment about the significance of that. And whatever it is that makes your Yom Tov celebration unique to your family, the way you guys like to celebrate it. So besides for the meat and the wine and the milchigs, there's also people get gifts, new clothing and jewelry for the women and girls of the family, and sweets and treats for the children. All these different things. Now's the time to do it as you're getting ready and preparing for the holiday of Shavuos that is coming up. So do all those things now. And perhaps there are other people you know who need, so not just to take care of oneself, but to be there for others. Chabad Seniors Club, we make sure to send food parcels to needing elders in our community. So if that's something you want to get involved with or sponsor, please reach out to us. Of course, it's not only about buying and preparing the things for our homes and ourselves, but we also have to prepare ourselves internally and spiritually, whether it's our personal grooming. Don't forget, for weeks now, traditionally, we haven't had haircuts, and cleaning our homes to make sure they're beautiful and extra special for Yom Tov, and adorning and decorating the house, all those different things. Now's the time to get into the mode so it's not just a last second rush. So some of those things include the flowers, which remind us of our happiness of receiving the Torah from God Almighty. And it reminds us of the barren Mount Sinai that miraculously sprouted greenery when the Torah was given on it, as the Medrash tells us. A king sent his workers to pick the fruits in an orchard, but the orchard was filled with thorns. And the king was about to have the orchard flattened when one of the and had the orchard flattened when one rose was found. And for the one rose, the king saved the entire orchard. And similarly, says the Medrash, God was prepared to destroy the world after finding that after 26 generations, there were no righteous people. But then when he found that the Jewish people were prepared to receive the Torah, Hashem saved the world in their merit. And so we adorn the home with flowers to remind us of this Midrashic analogy. And there are many other reasons, including the trees remind us to pray for fruit-bearing trees, because God makes judgments about the productivity of fruit during about fruit-bearing trees on the festival of Shavuos. And of course, it is also the holiday of Bikurim, where the first fruits were offered in the temple. So many reasons given for why we decorate our homes and shuls with greenery on Shavuos. Of course, in years when Shavuos coincides with Shabbos, then it's also necessary to prepare an Eruv Tav Shilin as well. Now, how do we go about in the celebration, in the preparations for the holiday? Let's think about it. You know, we absolutely celebrate and have guests and make sure that everybody comes and is part of the celebrations of Shavuos. It is a fairly simple holiday, not very well known. And so it's important that we invite people over and that we be at shul. And of course, to make sure that it's a pleasant and beautiful holiday and celebrate it in the best ways with our families. Just like every Shabbos and every Yom Tov, we usher in the holiday with lighting the Yom Tov candles, and then we make our ways to shul. It's a short prayer service in the evening, so why not be there? I'm sure the rabbi will give a great sermon, and it's important to be there, to be part of the Yom Tov celebration. Many shuls, probably most shuls, in fact, will probably be having Yom Tov dinners. If your shul's not having a Yom Tov dinner, please reach out to us. We'd be delighted to have you at our shul's Yom Tov dinner. In fact, we're going to be up all night from dinner onward in all night learning, as is customary on Shavuos. So this is the dinner itself is going to start with with Kiddush, as always, as every festival and Shabbos begins. And we then are going to enjoy a typical Yom Tov dinner. But the custom is to stay awake all night and to study the Torah. In fact, we don't just study the Torah. We go through basically a perusal of the entirety of Torah. And the tradition is specifically to remain up until dawn on the night of Shavuos. And our sages describe the day we receive the Torah as a betrothal ceremony between God and ourselves. In the hours leading up to her wedding, the bride's entourage beautiful tikkun leil Shavuos. And the word tikkun, while it means a rectification, we're going to talk about that rectification, because the night before God gave us the Torah, the Medrash says the Jewish people actually went to sleep. And when God arrived to give them the Torah, they were still asleep. And many years later, God wasn't so pleased about that. And in fact, God conveyed that displeasure through the prophet Isaiah. And he said, "Why did I arrive and there was no man? I called and there was no response." And so to rectify this omission, we remain awake. That's the meaning of tikkun, rectification, for the night of Shavuos. But another meaning is about the beautification, the adornment that the bride's entourage would do to make the bride look her best. And Torah makes us look best as the bride who receives God's gift of the Torah. And we spend the hours before, just like a bride beautifies herself, we do the same as we will once again be betrothed to God. And so we adorn and beautify ourselves spiritually by studying the Torah, which is exactly what Shavuos is about, receiving the Torah. And so the Tikkun Leil Shavuos, the custom is staying up a whole night. And while tikkun means rectification, it also means an adornment. And this is the beautification. What is the process? What does it entail? Well, first three and last three passages of every chapter in the written Torah. The first and last passages of each tractate of the Talmud, there's a list of the 613 mitzvahs, and there are certain passages and selections of the Zohar, of the mystical side of Judaism, and Sefer Yetzirah, the Book of Formation. There's also various chapters from each biblical book of the entire Nevi'im, the prophets, and Ksuvim, the scriptures. And the Tikkun contains entire chapters of certain episodes that have unique significance. So, for example, the narrative of creation and the exodus from Egypt and the splitting of the sea and the giving of the Torah. And by us studying this book, it allows us to scan the entire corpus of the Torah, the written Torah, the oral Torah, the commandments, and the concealed mystical dimension, the Kabbalah. And so this is a very important part. Of course, it also includes the Book of Ruth. Many people have the custom to chant the Book of Ruth and Shavuos because, first of all, Ruth was a convert to Judaism. And in a sense, we all are like converts to Judaism on Shavuos because this is when we received and accepted Judaism by receiving the Torah. But the Book of Ruth tells this story of the ancestress of King, the ancestress, the great-grandmother of King David, who was a Moabite princess. And she sacrificed a life of luxury in order to convert to Judaism. And in that sense, I think we too have to realize what sacrifices will we need, realizing, you know, kosher food costs more and different school costs more, Jewish school, etc. So what sacrifices are we willing to do to make? Of course, King David was also born on Shavuos, as was I, and my son, David Yehudaleib. And so it's appropriate that we read about this pious ancestress of King David on Shavuos. Also, Shavuos is the festival of harvest. And in the Book of Ruth, it describes the harvest during which Boaz noticed Ruth's piety. And we read in great detail, because by the way, Boaz, who married her, what was he before marrying she? He was Ruthless. Sorry. Now, of course, Ruth and Boaz met up. And I think there's a lot we could learn from that story of the quintessential convert to Judaism who embraced the Judaism with all her heart and made a great sacrifice to do so, which we too need to realize what sacrifices we can make in order to observe our Judaism. But the most important aspect and element of the Pesach, of Shavuos observance, of course, is coming to shul and being present to hear the Ten Commandments. That, I would say, is the most important part of Shavuos. Of course, reading the Ten Commandments, the Torah reading, is preceded by Hallel, the songs of praise of Hashem. We know that every day is a gift. Every breath is a miracle. And on certain special days, we sing God praises for these miracles. Yes, every day we have to recognize them. But at these times of elevated joy and salvation, when we've experienced an extra measure of God's love and protection, we gather as a community and we sing Hallel, we sing God's praises. We acknowledge that every detail in our lives is orchestrated by our loving Father in heaven for purposes that are absolutely good. And so singing Hallel as a community is just a joyous and uplifting event. It stimulates feelings of love and gratitude that are experienced both personally and collectively as a community. And of course, God sees our joy and responds in kind, and he bestows blessings upon us with joy and abundance. And don't we want that joyful blessing from Hashem? So let's be at shul. Let's come a little bit earlier than the reading of the Ten Commandments. And just as praising a fellow human awakens a desire within our fellow to be positively predisposed and loving, so it is with God. God delights in the praises of the children. When we sing Hallel, God lowers himself into our world and suffuses it with blessing. And so it's so important that we remember that God does not need our prayers per se. But when we praise God, it deepens our bond. It fans the flames of our love. And most important, it brings to the surface our feelings of gratitude to Hashem for all the many and bountiful gifts that God bestows upon us. So let's be there at shul. Let's get ready to receive the Torah. Let's sing the praises, which the entire davening is a compilation of praises of Hashem. But particularly as we sing Hallel on a Yom Tov and celebrate all the wonders and miracles that God performed for our ancestors, most important that we be there and chant and sing with great passion and joy. Let's be there. There's so many beautiful, important melodies in Hallel. I know at our shul, it's one of the most special moments as the community sings in unison together, and very, very special. Let's talk about one or two more special customs, because after Hallel, before the Torah reading, many communities have a custom to sing Akdamos, to chant the Akdamos. It's an elaborate, a poetic ode to God. And it's read responsively with the lead of the chazan, Akdamos Milim. So the leader reads two stanzas and the congregation responds with the following two stanzas. And this prayer, which is written in Aramaic, begins with a praise of God's greatness that transcends all description. It goes on to describe the myriads of angels that God created and the way in which they praise Hashem. And it proclaims our allegiance to God and none other. And it concludes with a description of the miraculous events that will take place with the coming of Mashiach. Akdamas was written by Rabbi Meir ben Yitzchak Nehorai of Orleans. He lived in the 11th century. And the poem has an embedded acrostic. The first two lines begin with the letter Aleph. The next two lines begin with the letter Beis, etc. And the author embedded his own name in the first letter of the final 46 lines. And he also included a prayer that he be strong and courageous and grow in Torah and in good deeds. So the Akdamas, although in the Chabad custom it's not recited, but many shuls do. But now we must remember the most important part to be at shul for, if there's nothing else, would be at least to be at shul to hear the Ten Commandments. We know that on this day on Shavuos, we received the Torah at Mount Sinai more than 3,000 years ago, and we re-receive the Torah every year anew on this day. And the point in the day when God issues the Torah to us anew is that's when we hear, when we listen to the chanting of the Ten Commandments in shul. So it's very important that we are in shul, we rise in reverence and awe, just as they did on the day that God gave us the Torah at Mount Sinai. And so the Baal Korah will probably raise his voice then, and everybody should pay heed, should listen. And as the Torah is read, we visualize ourselves standing on Mount Sinai, seeing the thunder and lightning and hearing God's voice and tone, the commandments. And after we read the commandments, a euphoric inner joy grips us as we celebrate the receiving of the Torah. So make sure to be there in shul on Shavuos. Listen to this most important event, listening to the Ten Commandments. And of course, we know that the children were appointed by God to guarantee that we keep the Torah in the next generation. And therefore, it's most important that we ensure that all the guarantors, that all the children, and the young at heart as well, everyone, should be part of this most special celebration, hearing the Ten Commandments, and ideally to understand and to review and to celebrate. But of course, afterwards, most shuls, many shuls, certainly at our shul, we're going to be having a ice cream party with cheesecake and all types of dairy delights, as is customary to eat dairy dishes on Shavuos. So I want to encourage everybody to be at shul, to be present. There's on Shavuos, there were two special offerings that were brought. So we, in fact, eat two meals. And that's one of the reasons, the symbolisms of eating dairy on Shavuos is to signify the two separate meals. When the Torah was given to us on Shavuos, the Jews became obligated to observe the kosher dietary laws. And the meat that's prepared in advance would not have been slaughtered ritually because the Torah was given to us on Shabbos. So we're unable to slaughter new animals, and that's one of the significant symbolisms of eating dairy on Shavuos. And it reminds us also of the, like I said, the two loaf bread offering that was brought. It also reminds us of the Torah, which is compared to milk in much of Jewish literature. In ancient times, little children were inaugurated into formal Torah learning on Shavuos, and to celebrate this festive occasion, they would serve cakes that were baked with honey and milk. And although we don't necessarily do it exactly like that on Shavuos per se, but that custom remained in place, and therefore we must be sure to drink wine during this meal, as any Yom Tov meal is always part and parcel to facilitate the happiness and rejoicing on this festival day. However, we must be careful not to allow that joy to get out of hand. And so the celebration should be conducted in a refined manner that lends itself to discussions about our gratitude to God and contemplation of the holiness of this day and appreciation that God gave us the special gift of the Torah. The best way to celebrate the Torah would be by studying the Torah. So you might be a little bit fatigued and tired from staying up all night, but we should certainly make a special effort to study as much Torah as we can on this auspicious day, on this holiday of Shavuos. And we'll be right back in a moment.
You're listening to Ethics, Morals, and Chutzpah with Rabbi Ari Kiveman, only on 101.9 High FM.
Welcome back to Soul right here on 101.9 Chai FM. I'm your host, Rabbi Arkib, and it's great to be with you here on this wonderful afternoon as we talk about getting ready for the great, beautiful festival of Shavuos. And we talked about doing all the preparations as is necessary before the holiday begins, getting all our dairy and deli favorite festive foods, gastronomic delights. And of course, we talked about staying awake all night on the eve of Shavuos, as well as the most important element and aspect of the Shavuos, and that is to be a shul, to hear the Ten Commandments as they're read on the first day of Shavuos. Well, in Israel, actually, there is only one day of Shavuos. But one of the differences between inside and outside of Israel is that in the diaspora, we have the privilege of having an additional day of elevating the mundane to a greater, holier purpose, and we have an additional day of the festival of Shavuos. And so outside of Israel, we gear up to do it all over again on the second day. And this goes back to the days when the beginning of Jewish months was determined by the Jewish High Court. Outside of Israel, Jews who lived in diaspora in the times of the temple, they didn't know when the month began, because back then, the only way a new month was determined was by the setting of the new moon and Rosh Chodesh being declared by the Sanhedrin. But those who were outside of Israel had no clue. Was the previous month 29 days or was it 30 days? So because they didn't know, and it would probably take too long for a message to get to them, no WhatsApp, no broadcasts, no emails. So considering that they didn't know when to celebrate the holiday, so it was determined by the sages that they should celebrate an additional day if they were outside of Israel in order to cover all bases. So today, if you're in Israel, then you will observe Yizkor, the memorial service prayer, on the first day, which is the only day. But outside of Israel, we will recall our loved ones on the second day of Yom Tov. There's something else that comes to mind about Shavuos, besides for all the things we discussed about eating dairy and celebrating the giving of the Torah, is that one of the names of this Yom Tov is Chag HaBikurim, the festival of the first fruit. Because back in ancient Israel, farmers would go out into their orchards at this time of the year, and they would tie a reed around the first fruits to ripen. And when they would make their Shavuos pilgrimage, as Shavuos is one of the Shalosh Regalim pilgrimage festivals, when one would ascend to Jerusalem, they would bring along a basket of these first fruits. Thousands of Jews would converge on Jerusalem with their baskets from all directions, singing and dancing to musical accompaniment, and would arrive en masse and enter the Beis HaMikdash, the Holy Temple, to deliver their baskets of fruit to God. And of course, the fruit themselves were consumed by the Kohanim. They would express their gratitude to God for taking them out of Egypt and for bringing them to the land flowing with milk and honey. Today, we no longer bring Bikurim to Jerusalem, as our temple has unfortunately been destroyed, but we focus on our gratitude to God for his bounty on this day. And many shuls, in fact, have a custom, a beautiful way of recalling the Bikurim by children bringing beautiful fruits and decorating the shul, and then all of the goodies that are brought are going to be distributed to those who are less privileged. Of course, at our shul, we'll make sure that we give it to our Chabad Seniors program, where we distribute food parcels to many needy elderly people in the community. And this is something that is a great way to express your gratitude and to celebrate the holiday the best way we can, would be also considering others. And so perhaps if you want, even before, you can reach out to us and make sure that we are able to reach out to help others. You know, we live in unprecedented times in terms of prosperity and security and longevity. Life expectancy is higher than ever, and infant mortality is lower than ever. Our understanding of medical science grows every day by leaps and bounds, and so much has changed, yet we have still so much. While we have a lot to be grateful to God for, we also realize that we have plenty, that whatever abundance that exists, there are many people who are less privileged than ourselves, many people who we could help and benefit. And so I think it's important that as we celebrate the holiday of Shavuos, or as we're getting ready now to celebrate, let's take the time to dwell on our blessings, to be grateful to God for everything we have. And we should verbalize our gratitude. And that certainly lifts our spirits and enables us to experience this holiday of Shavuos with joy, and to internalize the messages and lessons and to put it into practice. That's why it's so important. And I didn't want to leave out this concept, the idea of the Bikurim, of the first fruits, and to think about what ways we can express our gratitude and appreciation to Hashem and in what ways we can help those around us. And so don't forget that as the second day of the holiday comes around, to make sure that we recall our beloved departed ones by reciting the Yizkor Memorial Prayer. And many in the Chabad custom, at least, we end the holiday with song and introspection and sharing words, special words of inspiration. And that would be the best way to conclude the holiday. And just as we mentioned Yom Tov by reciting Kiddush when the Yom Tov begins, and so do we mention it by reciting Havdalah as it ends. And we fill up our cup, we make sure the blessing is overflowing when we do Havdalah at the very end of the holiday, and make sure that we celebrate this holiday in the very best way that we can, live this holiday, recall and tap into the special blessing of God giving us the Torah at Mount Sinai, and to recall this is a holiday that should not be abandoned and neglected, as unfortunately it seems to be, but it's so important that everybody be at shul to hear the Ten Commandments read from the Torah on Yom Tov, and be there for the ice cream party. It makes it more fun and incentivizes the kids to come and enjoy the cheesecakes and all the different other delectable, the cheese blintzes or whatever else, Italian pastas and pizzas that people like to eat on this Yom Tov. Just make it enjoyable. And remember, just as our ancestors received the Torah, the Ten Commandments, back then, we too need to receive it today and internalize it. So make sure that the children come, even the little baby infants, and even the elders and everybody in between, to hear the Ten Commandments on Shavuos morning. And by doing so, the words of the Torah will be engraved in the hearts and minds of the children, and through them, the Torah will be etched within the parents and grandparents and great-grandparents with even greater intensity. So make sure to be there, to be part of it, and enjoy the dairy foods as is custom on Shavuos, as we discussed before, the various reasons behind this custom, and if possible, to enjoy the a meat meal as well. I know it's a lot of extra calories, but the calories in Yom Tov don't count, only when you step on the calendar. Is that calendar? On the scale after the holiday, only then do the calories make any difference. Anyways, with that in mind, ladies and gents, I want to wish you all a beautiful, meaningful, and spectacular Yom Tov. Remember this message of Shavuos. Aspire to inspire before you retire so you don't expire. Carpe diem, seize every moment. Wishing you a good Shabbos, a good Yom Tov, Chag Sameach, and we'll be back.